Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Genesis, chapter 22, we continue on in our Bible survey. It's hard for me to try to discern the high points and pick through them. And then deliver them always in the most logical order. But we come to a place tonight where we're picking up the Hebrew family history. We started with human history, with the creation and up through the flood. And then in Genesis chapter 12, we have the call of Abraham, and we looked at that a little bit and looked at Abraham's two sons and how that God was orchestrating the line to Christ through Isaac. Of course, now that is, to a Muslim, that is exactly backwards to what they believe. They think the line is through Ishmael. And then there's, of course, a lot of religious tension because of that. You can trace a great amount of the wars that have been fought down through the years to the division of that understanding right there, to the division of going through the line of Isaac or through the line of Ishmael. And, of course, we believe the Bible does teach Isaac. And while the children were relatively young, there was another scene that went on with Lot. And Lot was down in Sodom. Remember, we briefly mentioned the fact of Abraham rescuing Lot once when he had been taken captive. And we didn't focus much about it, just mentioned it. And then talked last week about Sodom and Lot being down in Sodom. And I asked the question, how does the unthinkable become acceptable? Now, there are some extreme circumstances where the unthinkable might become acceptable. If it's life or death, survival, and what you would normally just cringe at, if it meant survival, you say, okay, I'll do it. But that's rare. Normally, the way the unthinkable can become acceptable is by taking little steps, incremental steps in that direction, and getting more and more used to it as you go, until you get off out there so far, another step doesn't seem to be that bad, and the unthinkable can become acceptable. And we pointed that out in Lot's life, and some of the things that Lot did while down in Sodom. Now we pick up the lineage of Abraham again. We're taking this as Moses wrote it in the book of Genesis. And so Lot was a little bit of a backtrack as far as the way the book is written. But chronologically, these things are all actually woven together. Right now, Abraham is probably about 120 to 125 years old when we pick up the story here in Genesis chapter 22. Remind you that as we read Genesis 22 or portions of it, we will see that Abraham has been called upon to offer Isaac. Now you think about Abraham. We are something like 40 years to 50 years from the original call of Abraham. We are a good time away from when the Lord originally revealed himself to Abraham, even a good time away from when the Lord revealed himself to Abraham as El Shaddai many years later. So Abraham has had a lot of experience now with failure, with success, with walking side by side with the Lord. We have Isaac probably around in his early 20s at this point. Most of your chronological Bibles and folks that know Jewish history real well agree that Isaac is probably late teens, early 20s. And Abraham is called upon by God to sacrifice Isaac. The son that he had waited on for so many years. The son that he thought he would never have. Humanly speaking, it was impossible. And Abraham had already been called upon by God to give up so much. He was told to leave his homeland, to leave his family. He was told to leave Ishmael or send Ishmael away. He loved Ishmael, it was his son. Abraham had given up in a lot of respects, a lot. And now God is asking him to give up Isaac. Not only to give him up. I mean, it'd be one thing and say, okay, Abraham, send Isaac off to war. No, he says, Abraham, I need you to sacrifice Isaac on the altar. Can you imagine? But as we read this text, we remember the strength of maturity that we'll see here. We'll see the years that Abraham has walked with the Lord. He's grown. He's become strong in the faith. It'll be demonstrated here. Notice with me Genesis 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now, the word tempt is to test or to prove. Prove by testing. And he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. Or here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son. I have that underlined. Thine only son. It's the only one that God had in view all along. Yes, he fathered a child with Hagar. But Isaac was the only son that God had in view since the first promise was ever given. It was Isaac that God was going to use all along. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham, notice this, rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Now, that is, to me, a remarkable passage of Scripture. He was told by God to offer Isaac, that promised son that he'd waited 40, 50 years for, that he'd now seen grow into an early 20 kind of age young man. 60, 70 years that since God originally called him and told him what he was going to do. And now, take Isaac and do what? That would be the easy response. Doesn't seem to be Abraham's response. He rose up early in the morning, verse 3. He didn't waste any time. He didn't doubt. Didn't demonstrate fear. Didn't demonstrate a hesitation to follow and obey God. Even when it meant offering his son on the altar before God. But we know from reading our Bibles what Abraham probably knew all along and found out at the end of the day that God didn't want Isaac's life. God wanted Abraham's heart. And he had it. And Abraham proved that. He rose up early in the morning. He didn't rebel in any way that's recorded for us. He didn't hesitate. He said, "Come on, boys. Saddle up the donkey. We got to go. Come on, Isaac." That's a remarkable thing to picture. If you can get in Abraham's sandals for a minute, think about that. If you can think about that morning that Abraham had to get up and get dressed and stack that firewood and get his son and say, "Let's go. I don't know where we're going. God will show us. We just know it's in the land of Moriah," which, by the way, is where Solomon later built the temple. Cross-reference that with 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1. Solomon built the temple in the land of Moriah. And every scholar that I read after, and everyone agrees completely, this is the same hill that Christ would have been crucified upon many years later. Because this is all a picture. Not only is it a test to Abraham, not only is it a learning lesson for us, but it's a picture of Christ. We'll bring that out at the end of the Bible survey study tonight. But he says, "Let's go, fellas, it's time to go." In verse 4, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. And then Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you." Notice closely that he said that he and the lad would go and worship and come back. He doesn't say just, "I'll come back." He had confidence in the Lord by now. He had met him as El Shaddai. He knew that he gave Isaac to us when it was impossible for us to have him. He can certainly raise Isaac from the dead if that's the case. And so he indicated that he felt like they'd both be returning. He says, the Bible then says, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here am I, my son.' And he said, 'Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering.' So they went, both of them together." Can you imagine? Isaac says, "Oh, okay. God will provide." So they go forward. Verse 9, then they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, Here am I. And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, from me." Notice what the test proved. Abraham had a proper fear of God. I got into a lot of trouble one time preaching a message that a Christian will fear God. I didn't understand. It didn't ring right to several people in that audience that we should have any fear of God at all. Their idea of God is that just he's this warm little fuzzball that will receive anything we offer in his direction and do it sincerely would be nice, and it's fine. They'd never considered the God of the Bible. They'd never considered the God that requires obedience of his children and chastises when that's not there. They'd never thought about the fact that the Bible tells us Noah was moved with fear to build an ark. Here the test was given to Abraham, and then the angel of the Lord said, okay, now I know that you fear God. And friend, a lot of folks want to write it off as just a reverential awe, reverential respect. Well, that's certainly there. But Abraham feared God, plain and simple. He knew the power of God. And if we had any sense about us, we would have that fear of God also. When we see God working, when we read in our Bibles what it would be to cross him, to rebel against him, to be disobedient to him, to be unfaithful to him, it would do us well to consider. The Bible tells us in Psalm 147:11, the Bible says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Abraham had a right fear of God. He trusted God. He'd walked with God long enough to know that God was able. Look at the commentary here in Hebrews chapter 11 as the writer of the book of Hebrews is offering commentary on this exact scene. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure, or as a type, or a symbol. Abraham knew that God could raise him from the dead. Abraham had a proper and a mature understanding of who God is. He's a living Lord. And he'd walked with God long enough now to know he's able. He's had many ups and downs in his life. Many failures, many successes. And he's learned through them. And when he's called upon by God to go offer Isaac, he says, well, let's go. It's really a test of maturity, which is what the Bible said that God was doing. Testing, proving Abraham. We need not think too hard and stretch our minds too far to think, how would I react? In the areas that God has called me to sacrifice or surrender something, how did I react? How would I react? In other words, how strong is my faith? Am I mature? Am I growing in strength and knowledge and fear of the Lord? Abraham has grown a lot, and he proved it. Well, we go back to Genesis chapter 22. After the angel of the Lord stopped him, said, "Lay not thine hand upon him." Verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. God will provide himself a lamb. That's a picture of Christ. God provided this ram. And verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. From verse 15 through verse 19, God restates the promise, restipulates the details of his promise. It's an amazing story. It's an amazing account of what a real fella was asked of God to do one day. It's an amazing account of what a true individual had to face as he, both of them, one as he looks down at his son upon the altar, and Isaac as he considers dad above him with a knife. It's amazing. But as I said, God didn't want Isaac's life. He wanted Abraham's heart. Now then, there are several ways we can see that Isaac is a picture of Christ. He is called in the text twice, the only son, Christ, the only begotten of the Father. Both were willing to give up their lives to please the Father, both Isaac and Jesus, submissive even unto death to please the Father. Both were born at a very specific and announced and set time. On this day, your son will be born. On this day, Jesus will be born. Both born miraculously. No human way that Isaac should have been born, but God gave their bodies strength again. And of course, Christ, born of a virgin. Both obedient, both raised from the dead. Isaac in figure, as we read in Hebrews 11, Christ literally raised from the dead. And very interestingly, Christ left the scene, and on the last little speech that he gave to the apostles, starting in John, the end of John 13 and John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." The next scene that we see Christ after his ascension into heaven is returning for his bride. Of course, we haven't seen that happen yet. We've seen it told about in our Bibles. But the next scene after the resurrection and that telling of the apostles that I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, the next scene is where he's coming to gather his bride. And the next scene for Isaac, the next time we pick up the story with Isaac, chapter 23 is about Sarah's death, but chapter 24 is about Isaac's bride. The type of Isaac, the type of Christ that Isaac provided even carries on out to that scene. The gap of time, and the next thing you see is Isaac going to get his bride. How magnificent our Bibles are. How amazing our Bibles, how amazingly our Bibles are put together. And when you begin to study with types, and you could go on and see so many things. I mean, there were two men hanging with the Lord. There were two men that Abraham took with him in this scene. The typology just goes on and on. They're just living life. They're just trying to obey God. And in the doing of that, they're providing for us a picture of what Christ would do. God will provide Himself a lamb. And Jesus, or John announcing the coming of Jesus off in the distance, said, "Behold, the Lamb." He provided Himself. I pray that these brief thoughts on Wednesday evenings just whet your whistle, whet your appetite, cause you to want to dig in to the Bible and begin to see how they fit together, to begin to see what's going on in the context of what's going on in the backgrounds. And it'll become so very real to you. And then when it's real and interesting, you get a hunger for it and you want to learn more about it. So this is the Bible survey number 11. Abraham offering up Isaac. We'll be dismissed.